again, and welcome to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, episode 156. This is the podcast about American flowers and the people who grow and design with them. It's all about making a conscious choice, and I invite you to join the conversation and the creative community. This podcast is brought to you by slowflowers.com, the free nationwide online directory to florists, shops, and studios who design with American-grown flowers, and to the farms that grow those blooms. It's the conscious choice for buying and sending flowers. Did you know that more than 50% of all floral transactions in the U.S. take place at the supermarket cash register? While that statistic may not bode well for the corner flower shop, it does represent opportunity for flower farmers who find a way to work with this ever-changing dynamic. There are so many reasons for the shift from the corner flower shop to the grocery store. But according to my guests in today's podcast, one of the primary causes is time and convenience. In other words, consumers are so pressed for time in all facets of their lives that the grocery store has become the one-stop place to purchase not just food, but so many other things. Think about it. The grocery store, when done well, is now our coffee shop, our bank, our drugstore, our greeting card store, our liquor and wine store, our bakery, our deli, and, oh yes, our flower shop. Katie McConaughey is the floral merchandiser for New Seasons Markets, a Portland-based chain of 13 neighborhood grocery stores. With the motto, "The Friendliest Store in Town," New Seasons nurtures its local suppliers, and not just in food. On its website, you will find this message. As a locally owned business, we take pride in supporting local farms, ranches, and other small businesses through our homegrown program. The homegrown symbol points out products from produce and meat to hand lotions and scented candles that come from local companies. So you can support the local and regional economy with your dollars, and we can further our strong commitment to sustainable agriculture. Unfortunately, there's a lot of lip service paid to the word local, and I've witnessed firsthand the amount of greenwashing that can take place at grocery stores that tell their shoppers one thing and then do something completely opposite, such as trying to pass off imported flowers as local or simply not caring enough to properly label the sources of flowers. After getting to know Katie over the past year, I have to say how impressed I am with her philosophy of transparency about the origins of the flowers she and her employers sell. "Not many people think of buying local when it comes to flowers," she says, "but making beautiful selections available from local growers is how we're making a difference, one stem at a time." When I visited Portland last month, I scheduled an interview for this podcast with Katie, and I asked her predecessor at New Seasons, Molly Sadowski, to join us. Molly is the program manager at the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market. She was the link who first introduced me to Katie. That's when we all attended the California Cut Flower Commission's Field to Vase Dinner held in Portland last October, where I was invited to speak. At the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market, a cooperative of Northwest flower growers in Seattle's Georgetown neighborhood, Molly oversees the selling of flowers to grocery customers, and she maintains a year-round floral inventory for floral buyers. She previously built and ran the floral program at New Seasons Market, as I said, and she initiated a seasonal buying program there that relied on product from 80 growers, including more than 50 farms in Oregon. Molly embraced the buy local philosophy earlier in her career as a restaurant owner in the early 2000s, when she forged relationships with local farms and local farmers to supply her vegetarian breakfast and lunch cafe. It's interesting to see this woman walk the talk in all that she's done. Here's an example. Molly served as a public health fellow at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, working on the national plan to eliminate syphilis. Unfortunately, Congress decided not to fund that plan, and the disease is still around. Molly lives in Portland with her husband Dan and their six-year-old Belgian Malinois Lenya. I hope I'm saying that right, Malinois. That's a cool breed of dog. Please enjoy today's conversation about the fast-paced world of grocery floral as I seek to understand where the opportunities are from two perspectives. From the floral buyer for the supermarket, and that's going to be Katie's point of view, and from the floral seller, the flower farmer, which is Molly's point of view.
Hi,
Welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, and I am here at a beautiful rose garden in Portland called Peninsula Park Rose Garden, a hidden gem that my guests invited me to, Molly Sadowski and Katie McConaughey. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to this conversation. We've been contemplating this for a while. Katie is the floral merchandiser with the New Seasons grocery store chain based here in Portland. And Molly is the mass merchandising program manager for the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market. Full disclosure, I'm on the board, so I don't know what that means, but
it means you work a lot.
Yeah. I should figure out how to give you a raise. I don't know how to do that. I'm just so glad to get together because I think that a lot of the interviews in the Slow Flowers podcast have been with flower farmers and floral designers and a few wholesalers, but we haven't really talked about grocery store floral. And I think it can't be ignored. We were just talking about the figure being over 50% of all flowers sold in the U.S. are sold through the cash register at the supermarket, and Molly says it's growing. So I guess it is what it is, and there's really bad supermarket floral, and then there's really good supermarket floral. And Katie, I mean, your reputation is fabulous. Every farmer I know wants to sell to New Seasons, and I think that you're doing something really special here in Portland. So can you describe what is the floral program at New Seasons, and maybe back up a little bit and describe New Seasons too?
Well, New Seasons is a local grocery chain that started, going on 14 years ago. And it's basically, we have 13 locations here in Oregon, and we have one in Fisher's Landing, Washington. Okay. And we basically focus on providing choices for our customers with a really strong focus on local farms and local producers, from kind of our home goods items to our produce to our floral, and just kind of being the community neighborhood grocery shop. So
you're not necessarily categorized as a natural food store.
You're not. I mean, I think that's kind of one of the framework of our business, is that we do a lot. We want to give our customers choices, and we want to give them education behind making the best choices for them and their family. And so part of that is offering conventional products, and a big part of that is educating them about local products or organic products, but not making it intimidating to make that choice.
You don't have to be politically correct to walk in.
No,
okay.
No.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. I guess I didn't really understand that, but the there's a lot of hometown pride in your customer base.
Absolutely. I feel like we have kind of a cult following, the best fans in grocery for sure, that I think people just really connect with new seasons, and we love them. So,
well, Seasons kind of implies this philosophy, and so I guess I'm going to ask you to describe the floral program, and Molly preceded you. So Molly, you jump in if you have some opinions too, because you come out of this same model. Is it true that you hired Katie?
It is true. Hired Katie.
And you're still speaking.
We are. Yeah, she was the best hire that I made there. So we were very, very fortunate to get Katie, who first started as a manager and then became an assistant merchandiser and now runs the show. So
wow.
Yeah.
So what is that? Okay, so when was that you took this position on, Katie?
This position is just over 2 years ago, I think, right? It's been a big blur, but I've been with the company just over 3 years,
okay,
so not that long. And the floral program is going on 7 years old, so it's not quite as old as the company. They used to kind of give the space to local florists, and then at one point kind of realized the value of floral, thanks a lot to Molly kind of in the background jumping around thinking that there was potential there.
And, oh, you mean they like outsourced it?
Yes, okay. They outsourced it, and then they decided to kind of take it back into the store, and that's kind of when Molly came onto the scene, and coming from produce, took a giant leap of faith and went into floral and started kind of what is the floral program today, I would say.
Okay, I want to back up a sec. Yeah. Did you start the floral program then, Molly?
I did.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know this about you. Okay, hold that, Katie. We're going to shift to Molly for a sec and just describe how this happened.
Well, I came to New Seasons via the produce department, and I worked in produce for a couple years, and I was doing some projects for them in the produce world, and the produce buyer asked me if I'd be interested in running a floral program, and I did not have any experience in floral. I honestly could not tell flowers apart when I first started.
Oh my gosh, you're so knowledgeable now.
I just kind of decided, wow, this is a great opportunity. I really liked working for New Seasons. I really liked their buying philosophy. So, yeah, that's kind of how it started.
Did it just start in one store?
It started at a few stores. I think we started probably at, I want to say, like, five stores initially, and slowly over time, every single new store, we obviously started our own floral department in those stores, and so eventually we had floral departments in all the stores, but it took a few years.
So that by the time you had hired Katie and then you started contemplating going on to something else, that you were in, and Katie, you took over the floral merchandiser program. Sorry, I couldn't remember the
title. Okay.
A couple years ago, that was company-wide at that point.
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So, all right, Molly, we're going to hold on and talk about what you're doing now in a second. But how do you wrap your arms around this big project? And what are the do you buy and design and all of the above, or what services do you offer to customers?
I mean, I think that, so we pride ourselves on kind of being a full service florist as much as we can. I think we think of ourselves more as a floral shop within a grocery store than grocery that has floral. And I think personally, there's a huge difference. So
it's a good way of describing it.
Yeah. I mean, I came from kind of a wide, vast industry experience working both in floral shops and grocery floral. And I think the best thing about grocery floral is that you can touch so many people through kind of the interactions that you have every day and share so much information around kind of the products that you can bring them. So obviously that's a great platform to kind of share about local flowers and, you know, where products are coming from and why it's important to kind of invest in that local message. So I think New Seasons, I think that's our number one priority, is to just bring really beautiful flowers to our customers and make it kind of less of, you know, once in a while or for a special event, but really thinking of it as we're the soul food of New Seasons, right?
So when you come in to get your groceries, you stop by the floral department
absolutely.
And pick up something.
Yeah, and we want to kind of stop people in their tracks, either by telling a really great local story or just having something really, really beautiful that they just can't resist. So I think that's kind of my number one priority when I'm thinking about the framework of the department is, you know, how do we kind of showcase the talents of our awesome floral designers that staff the department, and also tell the stories of all the really great farmers and growers that are working so hard to kind of bring us really great products consistently.
Wow.
So
it sounds really laudable, but I know it's a challenge.
Yeah, it can be difficult. I mean, I think it's one of those things where, you know, I feel as a buyer, you have to kind of walk that fine line of kind of creating expectations for the people that you're working with and giving them guidelines of what you need as a consumer to kind of represent, you know, for your customers, but you also have to almost be representative for the growers as well and make sure that you're kind of working within their realm and what they can handle, because a lot of times it's, you know, just them or just them and a couple other people running the entire farm, and you can't, you know, put these expectations that are unreasonable for them to meet as far as volume or variety. So
but it happens, Katie.
I mean, it does.
I hear the stories from, not necessarily from only in the Northwest, but from, you know, specialty flower farmers, especially maybe the big, larger, you know, 400 employee farms have a different story, but the specialty farms with 1 to 10 acres, they can't always hit the numbers, both in volume or in price. Mm-hmm. So how do you work creatively around that?
I think it's a fine balance of kind of making our own little cooperative of small growers that we kind of work together and, you know, everyone kind of has similar products. So if one small grower has 50 bunches of sweet peas and another has 60, you kind of piece them together, or just offer them to a couple stores. So thinking in that way, but then also working with California growers kind of for that bread and butter. Obviously, a lot of them have more capacity to kind of, you know, send consistent product week in and week out. So it's more, we use our local growers as the highlight of our program and want them to be kind of a staple in our department, but we want them to be highlighted as, you know, that boutique special product and really differentiate it in our stores. Wow. And I think that's how we do it, is we just focus on what they can give us and when they can give it to us and help plan. You know, we've worked with Molly this year and kind of strategizing, okay, it might not happen this year with this product, but next year, this is the quantities that we think we can do. And how do you think you can get there? And hopefully help them plan ahead so that it might not work the first year, but the next year they feel more confident going into their growing season, knowing that they kind of have these orders that they're going to get, and we're happy too. So I think it's really forming those relationships. That's just super important. Yeah.
But no, I don't hear of other grocery stores doing this. Why are you so special?
I mean, I think Molly did a lot to create a really awesome groundwork for this program. And I think for me, it's totally worth doing it. I mean, I think like I said, I kind of grew up in the floral industry, and I feel like, you know, it's an industry that we have to preserve. I think it's, you know, you have so many really great, dedicated, passionate people. And I think if you don't work with people in the way that they need to be worked with, and in a way that works for their business, it's not going to be sustainable long term. And then ultimately, we're not going to have beautiful products to offer to our customers. Yeah. So yeah. I think it takes a lot of time, and that's probably one of the drawbacks. It does take a lot of time, takes a lot of conversations, it takes a lot of patience. And there's definitely times where, you know, you're kind of all set up for something, and then, you know, the crop is delayed, and you might have a new farmer that wasn't able to predict that. And you just kind of have to be able to think quick and go with the punches, and that can be hard, you know, when you're a bigger grocery store and you don't have as complex of a program. But I think for us, you know, that's what makes us who we are.
Yeah, it's that relationship building.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think she thinks really creatively too. I think especially for small growers, for growers that don't necessarily have mass volumes of product, but they have a lot of variety. Katie has worked with a few growers, including us, and to say that, why don't you put together a grower's choice box? That gives us some flexibility in deciding what to send to her, and yet it's items that we may not have mass volume on, but really good specialty items that we would be really proud sending her. And so I know that she's done this with other growers as well, and it's really a great idea for small scale growers. Really, really helpful. It helps us move product to her, and she gets some really nice specialty product.
So you guys just recently set this up with the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market supplying new seasons on this.
Yes.
So are you the chooser of the grower's choice? What do you get to do, Molly?
I am the chooser, you know, which can be a little bit tricky. We have 15 co-op members. So in thinking about, you know, what would be good for New Season stores, luckily I'm fairly familiar with them and I shop them every single week. So I kind of look at what's in their set and what I could send them that would be really unique and what they would be excited to get.
Yeah, so you're putting personal time into this too, just, you know, shop.
It's part of my job, I feel like.
Yeah.
In choosing what goes into those boxes, I have to think of, like, what's going to get their designers, their staff really excited? What's going to, you know, catch the eye of their customers? Price point, what's going to be fairly affordable for customers here? And what works for the growers? What kind of product can I get from the growers?
Right, and this volume is, like, how many bunches would be in that grower's choice box?
It's, the small box, it's about 6 bunches of product.
Okay.
And so usually I've been trying to do, like, you know, 3 items, 2 bunches of each. So it's a really small box.
Uh-huh.
And it just depends on how many boxes Katie or the stores order.
Because that would only satisfy one store or so, right?
Mm-hmm.
6 bunches.
Right. So the mixed box is just dedicated, to one store. So it's basically offered on the order guide as a mixed box from that vendor. And it's really fun because you see kind of the aesthetic of the store come out and, like, whose mixed box they pick. And
it's kind of like a grab bag or party favors.
Yeah, and it's fun. I mean, the designers, like, they're really busy too. I mean, they work their butts off in the stores and have so much to handle. So sometimes it can be a lot to kind of sit through and, like, really pick out each specific item. So it's kind of like it's like a present that you get to open each week, and you never quite know what's going to be in it, but it's exciting for them to be able to use it. And I think that's what really gets people excited.
So when those bunches come, do your designers take them apart and use individual stems in composed bouquets or in custom orders, or are they selling them by the straight bunch?
I think it's all of the above. Okay. I think it really depends on the store and kind of what the clientele looks for there, but a lot of them will sell them as a single stem on their cut flower wall, or, you know, then design with them and make pre-made arrangements or bouquets. So I think it's just a combination of everything. And I think that's why it works so well, because it just provides options for them. So
what's the like perfect price for a grocery store, straight bunch or mixed bouquet, or is there a range?
I don't think there really is a perfect price. I mean, I think that we've come up with a grouping of different programs inside our floral program that really cater to different customers and therefore hold kind of different price points.
So, like small, medium, large?
Yeah,
sort of
well, and like looking at our 3 for $15, right? Obviously, it's small consumer bunches that the customer can mix and match for a bouquet that's $15.
What?
So we've got a lot of California growers that participate, and then local growers in the summer that participate in that, and that's for volume. If people need to push up volume and they're flushing and they just need to go fast. So that's a really great program, but then for more of kind of the higher end novelty stems that they need to get a higher price point, we do kind of on the cut flower wall. So I think that's part of this, is that we're not necessarily tied to certain price points.
Because you've got all these levels.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a really big range.
So
that's cool.
I think it makes it easier for the grower, and it makes it fun for us, because we can kind of figure out how to infiltrate the product almost in a lot of categories in our department, which leads to a lot of different customers. And, you know, they're all kind of shopping for something different, and it's our way of impacting them in different ways. So
how many different flower vendors or farmers do you work with in a given year?
I have no clue. I think a lot. Oh my God, I don't know. Probably.
I would guess
50,
probably,
60,
no,
70.
I think it's more. I would say close to 100 would be my guess, because when I left it was over 80, and I'm guessing you've added.
Yeah, I haven't really counted. And I think some of them are just kind of in and out. I mean, some of them are, you know, this is the one thing I grow, and
like a peony,
like lavender.
Right, lavender.
Right,
exactly. So
it's this 4 weeks, we've got it, and then we'll see you next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's and we're fine with that. I think that's great. I think that's what's so special about kind of bringing in local, is that seasonality, right? That you have those growers that, it's like Hood strawberries in Oregon. You know, people look forward to Hood strawberries.
Make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, it's the same thing in floral. We're trying to create that culture of like, okay, you're going to see mountainside lavender every year, and when it comes, you know it's summer. And
that's
I think it's good. I think Molly started building a lot of relationships, and then we've also grown to a new level with a number of stores that we've even this summer have brought on, I think, like 3 or 4 different really, really, really small growers. Like, this is my second year growing. And
like a micro grower.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And just kind of working those relationships and figuring out pricing with them and what they should grow. It's a really awesome experience.
So you're almost like a consultant to these smaller growers.
Well, I don't know how knowledgeable I am.
But you're a consultant at least about the marketplace.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think I work with them on price, and I think part of it is them having to figure out kind of what they need to do to make their business sustainable, but it's also knowing what our model is and how they can fit into that. So I definitely work with them on kind of how to bunch things or what certain programs would be better for you know, what flowers.
Right.
And sometimes that means that we just send out availabilities to a couple stores, and it's just at those stores are the only stores you can get that product until they kind of feel comfortable expanding. So
baby steps.
Yeah, it's totally baby. I mean, it's a huge, I totally admire these growers. It's such a huge task and huge endeavor, and, you know, anything that we can do to kind of help support that is awesome.
Well, if they're coming from, I don't know, a CSA or a farmer's market model, it's like hitting the big leagues to get into new seasons, right?
Yeah.
So, Molly, you come in and you almost act as a consultant to the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market growers who have, over the past 2 years, tried supermarket floral with mixed success. And I think a lot of it just has to do with who those market partners are and mostly they were in Washington, so that new seasons is new. But what is your sweet spot? What do you see as the way this is going to work for these cooperative farmers who are mainly putting their energy into selling to wedding and event designers, right, and maybe small flower shops.
Right.
Where does the supermarket fall in?
I think, well, first of all, like working with grocery partners and planning is extremely important. Katie kind of touched on this earlier, mm-hmm, but when we can kind of identify what the need is on the grocery end, then I can come back to the growers and say, okay, this is what grocery is looking for. These are the number of bunches they're looking for, the time of year, the price point that they'd like to shoot for. And that way our growers, you know, yeah, which they start planning, some of them have bought, you know, ranunculus corms back in June for next spring.
To plant this fall.
Correct.
So what would be an example of a crop that you've just tried to bring into the program that you've had to seek out a few growers and say, okay, this is an opportunity. Are you going to get into the pipeline and be ready for this?
Well, okay, we can talk about sweet peas.
Yeah, I was just going to say sweet peas.
So we have a couple growers in the co-op that grow fantastic sweet peas. They're fairly small scale when you look at the demand that New Seasons, like a company like New Seasons, would need. So
yeah, when 14 plus stores.
Yeah, you we're hungry. Yeah. We're hungry little monsters.
You must be going through hundreds of bunches per store a week.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, I don't know if that's true.
No, it's true. I mean, I think it all depends kind of seasonally. We do a lot of promotions, and that just throws it into a whole different league.
Because so it becomes even a bigger deal.
Yeah, I mean, it can then turn into thousands of bunches, you know, a week. So it's
so when intense. We met, we actually talked about, okay, Katie wanted to do certain sweet pea promos in June, and she gave me a sense of what that volume would be and the price point we were trying to hit. And I went back to the two growers that were growing sweet peas and said, okay, here we go. Because the growers right now that are growing sweet peas grew enough just for, pretty much just to sell at the wholesale market.
I know. I mean, Vivian Larson told me she has 800 plants. That's
right.
Not even enough for one of your stores.
Right.
Or
right.
Maybe a couple. I don't know. Mm-hmm. How, she's obviously harvesting off of those plants for
right.
weeks, but...
So these two growers,
that's
one's
crazy.
Vivian from Everyday
yeah.
Flowers and one's Diane and Dennis from Joel Mold. Diane and Dennis are going to actually put up a whole nother house.
Just for sweet peas.
Just for sweet peas. And Vivian's going to do the same thing.
Wow.
So they are ramping up their sweet pea production. And then we have another prospective new grower who has been working very closely with Vivian, who also might start growing sweet peas
right.
as well.
But none of them would have invested up front the time or resources to build another hoop house, for goodness sakes, and then, I mean, you know, the seeds themselves aren't that expensive, but
right.
the labor,
yes.
the trellising and all, if they
yeah.
didn't know that there was a demand.
Yes, yeah. Sweet peas are a very labor-intensive crop, and then also, like what you were saying, the materials to build these hoop houses.
Yeah.
They don't really like doing that so much on spec.
Yeah.
So to know that there's a grocery customer interested is very, very helpful to them.
Wow, that's exciting. And there are some things, there are different things about that I just from what I picked up anecdotally about the supermarket grocery quantities in a bunch, say versus what you might sell to a whole, special event wedding florist, right? I mean, it's or the stem length,
sure.
or
sure,
there's
sure.
there's so in a way a farmer could serve both markets and not.
You absolutely.
Know, cannibalize
yes.
either market.
Absolutely.
There's definitely like a color palette too, difference
right.
between what the event florists are looking for and what sells best in grocery.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And so what's nice is that, you know, they can kind of send a lot of the kind of like the hot colors to grocery and maybe more of the whites and all these blushy, you know, wedding-ish colors. They grow primarily for their wedding and event florists.
Wow. That's a great example. And you could say that about a lot of crops, like
a lot of crops,
the dahlias and
absolutely, yeah,
that's great. And so this whole notion that it's one or the other, you're kind of debunking and saying no, you as a farmer can find a way to specialize in certain crops for a New Seasons and other crops for the couture wedding designer and make everybody happy, and they're not really competing.
Right.
I mean, that's the ideal situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
I think it's, I mean, like Molly said, it, you know, I think it's a different customer. I mean, we definitely do kind of weddings and events, but it's even that, is a different customer. It's the customer that's trying maybe to do a little bit more themselves for their wedding and just needs...
like a budget wedding or something.
Yeah, and needs some help with their personal flowers or is just buying bulk from us. So it's not that super labor-intensive wedding that's, you know, taking 4 days to prepare and you're designing on site. So I think, the customer that we're trying to cater to is that person that wants flowers in their house every day or is going to a birthday party or is just bringing a hostess gift. And that's a different look, and that's a different price point, and that's a different stem length than kind of, you know, than that event business. So I think what's helpful is us being able to kind of plan, you know, when we're going to be able to receive those crops from growers, when they're going to be able to grow them for us, and what quantities. So, and it could look like, you know, they grow kind of consistently week to week for that event florist, and for us it might just be one big push and they just push out some volume for us and we're able to help sustain them kind of through that season. So
that's a great idea.
And those, I was just going to say that the sales from grocery is so significant to an organization like ours, and I know really significant to all the small boutique, you know, local growers that New Seasons buys from.
Yeah, it's a chunk of change.
It's enormous.
It's not a $12 bunch of flowers.
No. I mean, I know you probably ever see this too, but like, I remember getting, you know, like personal thank yous from growers saying, you have no idea the impact that your buying has had on our farm. And, you know, like, thank you so much. And I don't know what we would do really without you. And so
that's cool.
Now being on the other end of that, it's like, absolutely, like, I get that. I mean, we absolutely need to have really solid grocery partners in order for us to really be successful financially. And so it's, even if it's like small amounts for New Seasons, you know, in their scheme of things, it's significant for a cooperative like ours and other small growers.
Well, you use the term partners, and that's pretty cool that it's you want it to be win-win on both sides, and
it has to.
I think, and it's an interesting point too. I mean, to speak to the change of the industry too. I mean, I think you look at a lot of these growers that used to sell to farmers markets, and that was kind of the bread and butter. And what I've seen recently is a lot of that not necessarily being a sustainable practice anymore for them to kind of go to all these farmers markets and sell their product for maybe less than it should be sold for. So I think that's another way to kind of look at how the grocery, you know, industry is kind of balancing that out, is we're almost taking that farmers market piece a little bit and the burden off some of
you
the gross growers. Right.
Some
supermarkets. Right.
But when I go into Brand X, you know, another national chain in my neighborhood, in Seattle, where we know it's the number two cut flower producing state in the country, and I see bunches of mini carnations and alstroemeria and roses that were not grown domestically, it just makes me crazy. And I have actually said to some of these poor hourly staffers, who I know they don't know the answer, but I say, where were these grown? And of course they don't know. Mm-hmm. And there's no particularly effective labeling. Occasionally we do see the California grown labeling on some bunches. Mm-hmm. But what is it going to take to get that level of supermarket to act like a Katie? CEO of Floral, I think, pay you $200,000.
I think it's interesting. I think part of it is definitely, like, I've worked in some conventional grocery, and I think part of it is their programs and what that program looks like, and it's just the ease of, you know, not buying domestically, right? You have these cookie cutter farms that offer 10 items, and I think
the standard,
the
flowers,
core items, and that's kind of the extent of their floral program. And I think, you know, I get that. I mean, I definitely get that being a grocery buyer. I think there are times where we you know, you have to also, you, like I said before, you have to think of your customer. And if there's not something available locally, like, what are you going to do to keep your customer happy? So I think that there's, I understand that to a certain extent, but I think ultimately it's a commitment, right? It's committing, just like with food, when you commit to buy local or you commit to buy organic, you know, it's kind of taking that stand and being willing to put in the extra hours and being willing to form the relationships and take the time to kind of, to create the perfect relationship that works for both of you. It's ultimately just saying you're going to do it. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, it's a decision that these grocery stores have to make. And ultimately, you know, it's a really important decision to make the floral industry sustainable and really show our customers kind of that local food isn't the only important thing. And local floral is just as important. And I think ultimately they're probably going to get pressure from grocery stores like us when customers, I mean, our customers are so educated and they know the importance of, you know, supporting local and knowing where the products that they're buying are coming from. And I think that eventually it's, you know, it's going to be a choice that they'll have to face and we'll see what happens.
So how are you doing that? Do you have signage or is it just knowledgeable staff or
you know, I think it's
point of purchase. It's
a little bit of everything. I think we probably don't have as great signage as we possibly could, but I think a lot of it is the conversations that our staff have. I mean, I think that's kind of the core of our business is that just like we have relationships with our growers and, you know, it's all about relationships. And so that means relationships with the customers. So they talk to them and they point out like the newest, best thing that came in that week or, you know, beautiful snapdragons, you know, Chantilly snapdragons that we got from the Seattle market. It's like, these are so gorgeous. You need to buy these. Yeah. And so I think it's that kind of relationship. You have to have the knowledgeable staff and you have to be willing to take the time to kind of educate your customers and share with them. Yeah. So I think that's the key. And I think that resonates most with people. It's that genuine connection that you begin to trust, you know, what your florist is telling you that it is, you know, it is important and you look at them for guidance and what to buy. So I think it's forming that trust is probably way more important than a sign or anything else you could do. But I think everything helps, right? Telling the story. So
what do you two see as happening? Here we are in the Northwest. We don't have a lot of product grown in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market going to do in that regard? And what does New Seasons do? I mean, how do you, you were talked about that, that concept of needing to have product for your customers.
Right.
It's easy right now. We're in the middle of July when you're everything's just falling down like petals of beauty.
Yes, it's true. I think we rely heavily on California product in the winter. You know, we do some fair trade programs in a very small kind of level for certain items, but mostly the majority of our product in the winter is coming from California.
And your customers get it.
Absolutely. Okay. And I think, you know, because they also know they see local stuff, you know, they see that our paper whites are local, they see that our amaryllis are local, that we're getting all of our wreaths made locally. So when we can buy local, we represent that throughout the winter. So they trust us when we're buying stuff from California that they know and we're transparent that this is what, you know, this is what we have to do. And we trust the California growers and we've built relationships with them just as much as our local growers. So I think it's, you know.
It is only one state away,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. And they have really great products and it's really great because I think it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic with California growers because they know in our business that when local season hits, we're not going to buy as much from them. And that's a huge hit for them sometimes that, you know, we may have been buying sunflowers all year round and then all of a sudden July hits and it's like, okay, you're cut off.
We'll call you later.
Exactly. And I think it's that great relationship that we build that they respect the way that we do business. And because of that, you know, we give them that business in the winter. And so it's a really great, like mutually beneficial relationship.
And they've got the largest population in the country living in their own state.
Absolutely.
So maybe the California customers can buy a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. Yeah, it's local there.
Well, how are you, Molly, just looking for toward this winter, because you've not even been on board for a year. So you haven't even had the benefit of going through a full four seasons. So what are you kind of thinking about the mix that you're going to be able to offer grocery store customers in the winter? Or are you just going to do spring to fall kind of push?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, I think what we should concentrate on is what we grow well and what we can offer them.
Right, because if you're buying product from another grower, you're losing your markup.
Yeah, I mean, well, and most grocery stores, honestly, are buying directly from the same growers in California that we would be buying directly from.
Sure.
So I feel like our program really is like an April or March through October program to grocery.
To really push the product from your cooperative members.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right.
That makes sense. And then, you are bringing in product from California for the local wedding and event customer.
Correct.
Because that gives them something different that they
Correct.
May not be able to get.
Correct. And we want to keep those customers coming through the door in the winter time, so that's why we do that.
Yeah. Well, this is great. Well, I think we should stop. I should leave here. I'm on my way back to Seattle. I should stop at New Seasons and do a little flower shopping on my way. Anything else I didn't ask you that you want to make sure, like, what should listeners do to really connect with, if they're farmers, connect with a floral department manager at a supermarket, or if they're in supermarket retail or grocery retail, what can they do to be like, you, Katie, and go out and try to forge those relationships?
I would just say, and I think Molly probably showed this when she started the floral program at New Seasons, is to just be innovative and not kind of let your predetermined ideas of what a floral department in a grocery store should be or what you should be carrying at, your design studio stop you from forming these relationships. I think so often, people just don't think to reach out to us because we would never be interested or they're too small. And I think it's just asking those questions, and for customers, just asking where they're getting product, because they're the ones that everyone's listening to. So I think just keeping conversation happening and breaking boundaries and not kind of being stuck in doing the same thing every year. I think there's so many opportunities to just grow and change this business and mass merch in the floral industry. So,
because it's only going to grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So just being open and being willing to kind of make it work, whatever it is. So,
and you're here.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of my friend Kathleen Williford, who was a guest on this podcast a couple months ago, who is the floral buyer for one tiny grocery store in Santa Cruz, California, called Staff of Life, and she came in and took over that. It was just, again, an outside sourced, florist who had that department. They brought it in-house, and she just said, we're going to buy Santa Cruz County first, we're going to buy California second, and we're going to buy domestic third. Boom. That's it. And she's shown that one person can change the model. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys are, sisters separated at birth, because you're showing... And Molly, too. You're showing
absolutely.
That, an individual can really make a difference. And I just hope that more of these success stories will seep into the consciousness of the big corporate grocery stores as they think, okay, maybe they can't do it all, but maybe they can do one flower a month or one program a quarter, or just try it. If you see this response, then that positive reinforcement is going to hopefully inspire people to be more creative and take more risks.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's worth it.
All right. Thank you so much for meeting me. It's been really fun, and the sun finally moved up
from
under this gazebo. And we're going to have photos of some of the fun stuff at New Seasons and some fun stuff at Seattle Wholesale Growers Market to share on my website, so people can kind of get to know you that way too.
Cool.
Thanks,
Lisa. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me today to consider an important topic and to hear from leaders in the American grown flower movement. Be sure to visit deborahprinzing.com for links and to see photos that Katie has shared of New Seasons Floral Department. You can also view the seasonal bounty of Northwest Blooms on offer from the farmers who Molly represents through the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market. Thanks to listeners like you, this flower-powered podcast has been downloaded more than 18,000 times. If you like what you hear, please consider logging on to iTunes and posting a listener review. And please join me in putting more American-grown flowers on the table, one vase at a time. I promise that when you tune in next week, you'll hear another insightful and educational episode of the Slow Flowers Podcast. The Slow Flowers Podcast is engineered and edited by Hannah Holtgeertz and Andrew Wheatley. Learn more about their work at hhcreates.net.